you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, April 19th, Testimony Tuesday, and I have three special guests in the studio, actually three dear friends, especially over the last 2 years as we've worked closely together to put together The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as retold by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. And so in the studio with me is Kate Freeman, our director extraordinaire, and our sidekick, Huey Freeman, who's there praying away. I don't know if he'll be a part of today's program, but he's praying up the program. He's also a board member, so I have to be on my best. I have to be on my toes or put my best foot forward, as they say. And then Les Gioia, who was like all-purpose between engineering and sound effects and rewriting the original scripts so it could be adapted for radio. So countless hours of putting that together with the sound effects and engineering and a plethora of different things that he did. And so over the last couple of years, I've gotten to see a lot more of you guys. And so it's been wonderful. And they're here at our home studio, which I totally appreciate. It's like having friends or family over. And so today we're going to talk about our great debut of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe's retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But before I ask you some of the questions about what we experienced as far as God providing all the logistics, the scripts, the authorizations, pulling it all together, auditions, and the various practices, and everyone memorizing their lines, and the script writing, and all that, I pulled out our Acting in Faith, Come Join Us, Come Join the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. This was a brochure we had made a few years ago when we were launching this new ministry. And so I thought I'd read through it really quick because it reminded me, oh yeah, that's some of our initial goals and intent. But it says, would you like to be a part of this exciting new ministry that develops and shares short dramatic skits to powerfully proclaim and demonstrate God's truths through the performing arts? And then it has all these graphics and some fun things. We are looking for actors, musicians, publicists, and stage crew. The mission of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe is to equip Christians to use their God-given talents in the performing arts, teaching godly life principles, providing evangelistic messages which convey grace and love through creative expressions. And then it goes on, there's some bullet points about presenting at singing men concerts or at churches or schools or other functions, be a resource for area pastors, maybe during their Sunday services or to reinforce their sermon, be a part of non-denominational groups and other functions and activities. And it says if you're interested, go to greatnewsradio.org and click on the Theater Troupe tab. And then it gives some other things about how to be involved. And then it also says, why a Great News Radio Theater Troupe? Why, you may ask? No, that's, I'm adding that. The prophets were among the first to use the performing arts to get God's message into the hearts of God's people. Just look at the ministry of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, to name a few. Once they had the attention of the people, they would deliver a powerful word from the Lord. There is nothing that can replace the preaching of God's word, and few things can move hearts like the word of God in music. At the same time, perhaps nothing has the power to arrest people's attention, saved or lost, as effectively as the performing arts. This is just not entertainment. It is evangelism. And so today we have, as mentioned, our director extraordinaire, I like to say, Kate Freeman, and becoming the sidekick, Les Gioia, who has done many behind-the-scenes work. But, Kate, I'm just going to take our listeners back, and then I'm going to hand over to you two to share some of the things that you've seen God do. But 6 or 7 years ago, ago, as I was seeing the Singing Men presenting, I thought, wouldn't it be nice if there was a skit or some additional feature during the Singing Men concerts? And I had remembered that you had a background in Hollywood, had gone out to California, and had worked in some various productions, and really were gifted in that area. And I think when I initially crossed paths or suggested the idea to you, you said, well, that sounds really good, but the timing, I'm still raising my children, and there's not additional time available in my schedule. And then through a circumstance, maybe I'll let you take it from there, there was a phone call, and that was the catalyst God used to start putting, as they'd say, meat on the bones or steps into the flight. I don't know. Anyways, so how did you get involved in the theater troupe, and what do you see God doing, and how excited are you about this line, The Witch in the Wardrobe?
Thank you very much. Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is when you called, I knew that, you know, it was just time for me to have something to do with my gifts and talents, because I had put everything on the back burner for my family, and I was really looking forward to doing something outside of dishes and changing diapers and, and all of that. So we started off doing a lot of skits. One of the first ones we did was the Christmas program out at the mall. And it was really fun getting that together. I wrote the script, and it was supposed to be about the wise men and focusing on the wise men and when they found baby Jesus. It happened to be at Christmas time, but we know the wise men came later. But the whole story was supposed to be about the wise men and trying to make it a little bit comedic because I had heard, you know, some of those old songs where the wise men were comedic. Anyway, we enjoyed doing that so very much, and we did a few things where we took it to churches like in Danville, and I've done quite a few different ones at Meadowbrook, and I just really found that I enjoyed directing as much as acting, so that was been very exciting and encouraging. With The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, after we had done It's a Wonderful Life on the radio, and when we started kind of shifting to radio drama, that was another challenge, another level to think of things only in terms of sound. So that takes you off the stage, and so much action that's on the stage is indicative of the story. So now you have to take everything into sound. And now with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that was another step because we layered in music with it. Back about 4 years ago, I started looking for scripts after I kept thinking about the fawn. And I had an actor who would have been an excellent Tumnus, and it turned out he couldn't do it, but then we got another excellent Tumnus, so I'm very happy with how this turned out. But I just couldn't get that out of my mind, so I started looking for scripts, and this one by Adrian Mitchell was the closest to the book, and I had read all the books to my kids. And so I was really looking forward to putting this on. Well, then I found out it's a musical. So once we started looking for the rights to the script, and we wrote to London, and then this lady called me, and she started talking. She was called me from London, and I was happened to be in Portland at my daughter's house. And so I was so excited because she, beautiful British accent, and she said, well, I'd like to get to know the people that I'm allowing to use our script. And I said, okay, what do you need to know? And so then she just started asking me different questions about how large the audience would be on the radio broadcast. And I found out that we could not put it on stage because I wanted to do kind of two things. I was going to do a stage one and this. And then I found out I could not do it on stage because those rights were owned by Dramatis Company. So we could not do it on the stage unless we used a Dramatis script. We could only use this script if we had it on radio. So that was kind of a confirmation to me that this was supposed to happen. And then she said, you can only use it with the music. you can't do it without the music. Yeah. And I said, okay. And so then she told me where to contact the person for the music rights.
Yeah, and we had to purchase those scores, and I think
yes.
it was for a whole symphony. And, I mean, it got really involved and complex. And these are international calls and a lot of follow-up. And we had some pressing deadlines to pull this all off because it would mean the auditions and rehearsals and rewriting scripts. And I don't think people ever realize how much effort you two and the whole team put in. But thank you, God, that you kept persevering.
Yes, and the orchestral part of that kept a lot of musicians like, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I can commit to something of this size. So we were able to procure a couple of musicians and a consultant from the university who helped us to find musicians. I'd be grateful to a lot of different people that along the way who kind of led me to a couple of musicians who were willing to come out during COVID. They didn't want to be around the singers, so that part of it was a challenge because we had to tape the singers separate from the musicians.
Yeah.
And so that became Les's
quality work.
quite a difficult task.
Yeah.
Yeah, but bringing the music into it really kind of opened it up to a new experience. And mm-hmm. I think that's what people are going to find. It's not going to be just the book being read to you. No, this is a dramatized version with music and sound effects and a lot of little sounds interwoven in there that will bring you right into the story.
Yeah, the dramatization, which we were given, of course, as was said, it was for a stage play. And the important thing of adapting this for radio was to try to take what people would see visually and make them see it through simply what we could produce by sound. And so we had to add a narrator. There were things in there that needed sounds. For instance, when a witch is pointing a wand at somebody, you can see it, but you can't hear it. So I had to make that, had to create a sound for that and other things like that. So it was quite a task.
With the wand sound, too, I would think of something like, but he came up with something really wicked sounding for that sound, and we'll let you listen to that. But yeah, Les brought so many different things to it. He would go and look for the exact right bird sound that is mentioned. A robin is mentioned, and so he looked for the British robin, which is a different bird.
Yeah, British
than
robins
our robin.
Are actually winter birds, and they're small. They're much smaller than the ones we have here in the United States.
So their tweet was more of a tweet. Yeah, you got that detailed, and I think everyone that's going to be tuning in this Saturday or Sunday is going to appreciate that because you get captivated right away. And I think I mentioned this yesterday when Marianne and I were recapping our cast gathering where we had a dinner, that for the first like 20 or 30 minutes, you couldn't hear a pin drop. Everyone was so captivated by the sound effects and their voices. And it's going to be something that I trust, listening friend, that you're going to be blessed. You're going to want to invite your friends, your family. You're going to want to tune in. Get settled because it's about a two-hour production. I think it's an hour and 56 minutes. But get settled. Get your couch ready. Get your refreshments all set out so that you can sit down and really imagine and be involved. And the script by C.S. Lewis represents biblical truth, a redeemer, that good overcomes evil, that there's many different things. And you had talked about reading these stories, C.S. Lewis and other stories, to your children. Mm-hmm. You just felt this would be a great fit for our theater troupe.
Well, for example, Aslan is a lion in the story. And C.S. Lewis, when he first started writing this, all he could see was this little fawn in the woods. He had had a picture since he was 16 years old of this little fawn in the woods with a bunch of packages. And so he started to write it based on that and some people who came to his home, some children during the war. There were three young women who came to his country home to escape the bombing in London. And so then he dedicated this to his goddaughter, whose first name is Lucy. And Lucy does become sort of your main character. Well, when the children get into Narnia, which is, there's a whole nother story about how C.S. Lewis got into this fantasy world. But he gives the beaver, who's this kind of wise character in the story, the main thing about Aslan. The children say, "Who is Aslan?" And the beaver says, "Aslan, well, why don't you know? He's the king. He's the lord of the whole wood." And so that part of it, it brings people to this place where they realize there's more to this than just a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Aslan gives his life for Edmund, then the play takes a whole different take, that now he is a redeemer, and then he is killed, and then he is raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And so all of these aspects, I don't think C.S. Lewis knew when he first started that this was going to be a redemption story, but he was a theologian as well as a writer. And so that's how he decided how this would go.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts in this, in creating the sound effects, was where I had the stone table crack. And the girls, of course, are running back to see what happened and who took the body, because the body's not there any longer. And it's pretty fun. It's exciting.
Well, and what's so great is the timing of this. You know, we had hoped that this was going to be ready to go some time ago, but now just celebrating Easter. And this is like keeping Easter alive, the Easter message alive. And I love that one line. I can't think of exactly how it goes, but the gist is, should we be fearful of him, or is he friendly?
Is he safe?
Yeah, is he safe?
Is he safe? Of course he's not safe.
Yes, yeah. So it's so representative of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many different ways, the sacrificial giving. So I trust you're going to be very blessed by tuning in. It's going to be airing this Saturday, April 23rd, also Sunday, April 24th, from 4 to 6 p.m. on all 19 of our frequencies. So wherever you're at, if you're listening to us today, know that from 4 to 6 this Saturday or Sunday, you can hear the retelling by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It'll probably also be archived. We're still working that out, but it'll be accessible probably anytime at our website under our Mark and Friends page. It'll be a special feature titled The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But we're hoping you're going to tune in, and by way of a special gift, if you stop by the Great News Media Center or our studios in Springfield, we'll have a packet of microwave popcorn for you to pop and enjoy during the retelling. It's a two-hour broadcast, so get yourself settled, get your family and friends invited over, and enjoy this retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
And think about joining us. It really is a lot of fun.
Yeah, so as mentioned at the beginning of the program, our Acting in Faith little brochure pamphlet, Kate and Les and the team were praying up how God may use us in the days ahead, whether there's going to be another production or a musical or some skits, or there's always those fun little vignettes where you have a husband and wife, the breakdown in communication where the husband's maybe distracted, not paying attention to the wife, and she's like, "Okay, so you're saying I can get a new car?" And he's like, uh-huh. He wasn't really paying attention, and then you realize, oh, there's some barriers or some other fun things that we can dramatize as a skit. So if you're interested in knowing more about the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and click on the Theater Troupe tab, and there's some information, a little application, and you can find out more to get involved. But Kate, I know you are already praying up some other things and trying to seek the Lord, and you asked our cast members this past Thursday what might be stirring in their hearts or other suggestions, so we'll keep praying that up. And we're just excited to share with you this story, this retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and we'd highly recommend you invite friends and family members and others to come listen and hear it with you.
Mark, one other thing that people can listen for, one of the hardest sound effects to put together so that people could actually see it, because it doesn't really exist, is to have the lion, Aslan, blow. Because that's something lions just don't do. And he blows on these stone statues, and then they come to life. That also was something. And there were probably about 10 different sound effects that I put together to make those sounds, to make that happen.
Yeah, I think I shared, and I don't know if I inflated it or not, but I think there's probably about 1,000 different sound effects from different bells and train whistles and cars and background noises and birds and insects, and it's an endless detailed amount of sound effects to make it all come alive and seem real and fun to listen to. And so we would ask that you would be praying up this dramatic retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. As mentioned, it also includes some singing, and so you're going to hear some of the cast members singing, and this was all done and put together over a period of time, and we just appreciate all those involved, a number of local cast members.
Mark, I'd like to add one thing that Adrian Mitchell wrote, and he was an older playwright when he wrote this back in 1998, and he said, "I hope you and my children and grandchildren enjoy the play. Children are sometimes talked of as the theater's audience of the future, but you're more than that. You're the actors and the writers and directors and composers and stagehands of the future. If we don't make really good theater for all the children today, who's going to care enough to make theater for tomorrow?" Mm-hmm. And with this, we include children and adults. Using those two together has been such a powerful part of the ministry of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Yeah. And I'm hoping that we'll do many, many more.
Yeah, and they should listen and be absorbed by this production.
Yeah, it makes me think of a comment that Jackie Johnson, who, what would you say her title was? Because she helped coach people on using a British accent, because she's from...
called her a vocal coach.
Vocal coach. And
she was from the Isle of Man.
Isle of Man.
Yes.
And she was so impressed as she heard about an hour of our production this last week. And she just said, "I am so encouraged and so blessed. And I think people are going to really enjoy this." So everyone, I hope we piqued your interest on today's edition of Mark and Friends. And you're going to tune in this Saturday and Sunday, April 23rd and 24th. 4 to 6 p.m. Stop by our studios and pick up your microwave popcorn and invite a friend or a family member to come join you for this two-hour broadcast this Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Kate Freeman, and Les Gioia with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.